Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
My opening text is Psalm chapter 27, verse 4. And it reads, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." And I want to talk to you for just a little while on this thought. In his presence. In his presence. You may be seated. So from the opening text, we see that the psalmist is opening up his heart to the Lord, and he's expressing his heart's desire to be in the presence of God. He's praying, "Lord, I will seek after thee. Lord, it is my heart's desire to be in your presence. Lord, I want to behold your perfections and seek you in your temple." And while he's saying this, David is in the midst of being persecuted. He's in the face of adversity and doubt. He's on the run for his life. I can only imagine the desperation he felt in isolation writing this. But I believe that whenever he began to plead his heart's desire unto the Lord stirred up his mind unto remembrance of the priceless feeling of coming into the presence of God. And as fervent as his desire was to be in the presence of God, God wanted him to be in his presence even more. And Psalm 27 and 8 says, "When thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." When the Lord told David, "Seek ye my face," my mind instantly, it goes to Moses on Mount Sinai, when God told Moses that no man can see my face and live. But I believe that this was a charge from the Lord for David to seek after him with all of his being and all of his might until the end of his life, until he dies and is in the presence of the Lord. The Lord desires an intimate relationship with his people. And I believe that there are many people in this room with that same desire to go into the deeper places with God. But I want to take this scripture and break it down. From our opening text, we see that David proclaims he is seeking after what his heart desires. And we know that David is a man after God's own heart. And we, as the body of Christ, should be seeking after God and his will in our lives constantly. In Matthew 6 and 33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." When we are seeking after Jesus first, he will supply all of our needs. Jesus must be our number one priority over all things in life. Matthew 10 38 through 39 says, "And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." In other words, Jesus is saying that we must die out to the desires of our flesh. We must die out to our own self and put him first. And if we do this, we will find ourselves in the perfect will of God. But if we are not careful, the wiles of this world can take our minds off of Jesus, and we will get so caught up in the busyness of life, and we will find ourselves right where we don't want to be. And the only way that we can truly, truly be satisfied is to have Jesus Christ at the forefront of our life. The Word of God testifies of the preeminence of Jesus. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18, it says, referring to Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things. And by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. As bad as I would love to break out into a oneness message right now, I'm going to refrain because I know the Lord is going to move in this service today. But just as Jesus is preeminent in time and place, we must also hold him first in our lives and seek after him. Jesus must hold the preeminence in us. While the Apostle Paul was addressing some Stoics and philosophers in Acts chapter 17, he tells them, he says, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. And then he makes this statement. He says, for it is in him we live and move and have our being. If we are putting him first, it will be in Christ Jesus that we are living, moving, and have our being. And I cannot think of a better way to live. But the psalmist goes on to proclaim how it is his desire that he may dwell in the house of the Lord. And the correlation between seeking and dwelling in this context of our opening text, is inseparable. So in Isaiah 55 and 6, he tells us, seek the Lord while he may be found. Well, in this time, in the Old Testament, if you were going to seek after the Lord while he could be found, you had to go to the house of the Lord or the temple where his presence dwelt. From the creation of man up until this current day, God has always made a way for his people to come into his presence. And it has always been through what we call prayer. And prayer to some is intimidating. And if it is to you, if you can relate to that, I want to give you some revelation. Prayer is simply communicating or talking with God. Prayer is not meant to be complicated. It is meant to be our means by which we talk to our Lord and Savior. It is through prayer that we are able to touch the heart of God. Not only is it our means by which we communicate with God, but through prayer, we give God the thanks and praise he deserves. God encourages us to bring every need to him and lay it at his feet. And also through prayer, God uses us to intercede on the behalf of others. But a consistent prayer life will strengthen our relationship with God more than anything. It will help us grow spiritually, and it will take us to those deeper places with God. After the great exodus out of Egypt, when God's people were on the way to the promised land, Moses had a portable tent that he carried with him. And this tent, Moses would take and he would pitch it outside of the camp, and that is where the presence of the Lord dwelt. And they called it the tent of meeting or the tabernacle of the congregation. And I'm just going to read a few verses. Exodus 33, 7 through 11 says, and Moses took the tabernacle, and he pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and he called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was outside of the camp. And it came to pass, when Moses went out of the went out unto the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door, and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. I can't help but think how many people stood there at their tent and desired what Moses had. They desired that intimacy with God that Moses had. They looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the tabernacle door. And all the people worshiped, every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaks unto his friend. And he turned again unto the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. So in verse 8, we see that Moses had a designated place where he would go to commune with the Lord. And the Lord was familiar with this place because of Moses' consistency. And I would even go so far as to say that Moses had a specific time when he would go to this place. Because if everybody in the camp was standing at their door watching him go into the tent, then they had to be ready to watch him go there. So I believe that Moses had a time and a place where he would go and meet with the Lord. And I believe that it is the will of God for us to have a consistent time and place where we go and seek after God every day and pray. In verse 9, it said, the presence of God descended to meet with Moses whenever he would go into the tabernacle. Whenever you go into that place, stay there until God meets you. Stay there until his presence fills the room. The more that you pray and seek after God, the easier it will be to get into his presence. In verse 11, and God spoke to him face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Moses had an intimate relationship with God and had an audience with the king because of his consecration and his obedience unto the Lord. But in Exodus 33 and 11, there's just something, there's like a nugget that's left here. It's the Lord leaving us a hint. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speak to his friend, and Moses would turn again and go into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. It doesn't seem like a crazy thing, but we can't ignore the fact that it's written here. So I think it's good for us to take a minute and look at Joshua. We can't ignore the fact that Joshua departed not out of the tabernacle. Even after Moses would return to the camp, his young apprentice would not leave. Knowing the outcome of Joshua becoming the successor of Moses, we can see that he had a deep desire for more of God. Joshua continued seeking after God. Joshua stayed where the presence of God descended. Joshua was devoted to mending and keeping the tent in good shape. To me, it sounds like Joshua had a made-up mind about what he desired most. I believe that Joshua witnessed the intimacy that Moses had with God, and he made up his mind that he would have that same relationship. And someday, but Joshua was devoted to a life of consecration unto the Lord. So whenever we seek after the Lord through prayer, he is bound to show up. Now, I'm not talking about a short and sweet recited prayer. I'm talking about going into a place where we can shut out the cares of this world and we can unload our mind and we can seek after God. I'm talking about going into prayer with a made-up mind saying, I am not going to cease praying and seeking after you until I have been immersed by your presence. Lord, I will not be satisfied until I have pushed through the holy place and entered into the holiest of holies. God, I'm going to come to gather around your throne with those 24 elders, and I'm going to cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. God longs for us to seek after him and to dwell in his presence. And we should have that same feeling towards him. I want you to think back and try to remember the last time that you lost yourself in the presence of God. How long has it been? Psalms 84, verses 1 and 2 says, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of heaven's armies. I long, yes, I faint with longing to enter the courts of the Lord. With my whole being, body and soul, I will shout joyfully to the living God. Can you relate to this? Is your entire being longing to dwell in the presence of God? Can you feel Jesus knocking on your hearts right now? In Revelation 3 and 20, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. Through Jesus Christ, we have the power to open the door, but we also have the power to leave that door closed. But the invitation has been given. In John 7 and 37, Jesus said, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. The invitation was given. But we know that our life can become chaotic. We can let our schedules overwhelm us to the point to where we are putting the cares of this world before Jesus. We can get to the point to where we can convince ourselves, I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to read my Bible. And I'm guilty of this. I miss the mark on a daily basis. But there is one thing that I have realized. The more caught up in this world we get, the more our whole being, body and soul, thirst after God. When Jesus was on the cross, he was the only one who knew no sin, but he took on the sins of the world. And when he took on the sins of the world for the first time, he felt separation from the Spirit of God. And Jesus cried out and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? This was Jesus crying out, longing to feel the presence of God that he lived in. And sometimes I feel like God is saying to us, why have you forsaken me? I don't want to get so caught up in the blessings and the benefits of God that I quit seeking after him. The very next recorded words from Jesus was, I thirst. The man Christ Jesus momentarily was separated from the presence of his Father. And right after this, Jesus gave up the ghost and he died the sinner's death. But in doing so, Jesus paved the way for us to gain direct access to God through his death. Matthew 27 and 51 just a moment after Jesus died, it says, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And this event, it signified that the barrier between sinful humanity and God has been removed, and giving us direct access to God through our high priest, Jesus Christ. The veil being torn also symbolizes the ending of the old covenant. Under the old covenant, only the high priest was allowed to go into the holiest of holies once a year, where the presence of the Lord dwelt. But this system was not the will of God. God's way, but this was God's way of showing mercy towards his people. In Exodus 19, verses 3 through 6, we see the original plan of God towards his people. It says, and Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, this shalt thou say unto the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. And that was the will of God. That was God's ideal relationship with his people, for everybody to be a priest, for everybody to have access, to everybody to have that direct line with him. It was the will of God for all of his people to be the kingdom of priests whenever he brought them out of bondage. But in Exodus 20 and 18, we see the people drawing back away from the presence of God. I'm glad and I'm thankful that we are not like those that draw back. But it reads, and all the people saw the thunderings and lightnings, and the noise of the trumpets and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they were removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off. And Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was. And just like that, they went from being a kingdom of priests to being a kingdom with a priest. I can only imagine the Lord anticipating the day when he would step out of glory into this world and reverse this back to the way he intended it to be. Being a kingdom of priests, a kingdom with a priest, limits the intimacy of the people with God. God did then and always will desire the intimate relationship with his people. From Calvary, we see this old covenant being removed. And on the day of Pentecost, we see the most intimate covenant between God and his creation being filled. No more do we have to go into a temple to seek his presence. He has poured out his spirit on all flesh and made it available to all who thirst. I know this is just Sunday school, but I want to give an invitation. I want to give an invitation to pray and seek after God. How great is your desire today to get into his presence? How great is your desire to behold his glory? And you can stand with me. God desires intimacy with his people. Our whole makeup longs after the presence of God. And I believe that in these last days, God is going to be calling us. God is calling his people to deeper places. God is calling us to know him as he truly is, and to behold him in the beauty of holiness. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know how long it's been since you've been lost in the presence of the Lord. And I can't make anybody desire what God desires. But I can tell you that the God of creation, he wants you. He desires you to seek after him.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.